please have a seat? Well, we're going to spend a few moments looking at our gospel reading this morning. And at first sight, you may think, well, the thing about the temptations of Jesus, it just seems sort of buried in history. It just seems to be out of our experience. And in one way, it is. But another way, it is deeply contemporary. Deeply contemporary for us. You may not remember, but just before this, in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus has been baptized. And he's just been declared, you are my son from God the Father. With you I'm well pleased. That's the last thing that happens in chapter 3 of Matthew. And then Jesus goes off into the wilderness. And the big question that you might ask, and in fact everybody might ask, is Jesus is God as well as man. Therefore, living in this complicated, troubled world, is it easier for him? I mean, of course, you know, you can summon up being God as well as man. I mean, it seems to be like a very easy path through this world that so often for you and me can be full of conflict. It can be full of compromise and dilemmas and all the rest of it. And the temptations is all about the fact that Jesus has exactly trod what you and I tread day by day. It is different, but it's also deeply familiar with us. And the first thing to say about temptations, and this is what we'll see as we go through, temptations come to us not as a foe, but as a friend. Temptations come to us as a friend, kind of whispering in our ears things that actually are easy for us. Easy. Do you remember the first temptation in the Bible, in the Garden of Eden, however you read it? What does the serpent say to Eve? It says, Eve, you know, God doesn't want you to have the knowledge of good and evil. Just eat from the fruit, making it easy for you, making it sort of rather kind of nice. It's best for you. And so our temptations come. They come as things which are nice and friendly. And so some will say to you, you're worth it. Thank you, Paul. Yes, you probably do. So the temptations come to us as someone who says, kind of, you know, this is, you're worth it. Take that. You're worth it. Or that relationship you know is wrong, but actually there's real love. Real love. Get involved. All the temptations are about kind of what's easy that comes as a friend. So the first one we come to is the temptation to turn stone into bread. And Jesus, he'd been fasting for 40 days. So, of course, there is a very real need for Jesus. It's testing his humanity. Because if you've not eaten for 40 days, you're going to be hungry. And so what does the tempter say? If you are the Son of God, remembering you're also God, Jesus, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And, of course, that would have been fantastic for Jesus. Why not use that power of being God's son to sort of blitz those stones into bread and have a meal? Here's the big question then. Will Jesus make his path in this world easier than for you and me? Is he truly man and truly God and yet kind of cheating on the side? That's the temptation. Well, of course, the resounding message that comes back to us is, no, he is not. He is not going to cheat. He's going to stay resolutely as fully man, and he will be hungry. He'll be hungry. He'll be hurt. He'll be, at times, he will be tired. He will experience what you and I experience. So Jesus is not cheating on the human experience, and that's so important for us to understand. He lived what you might call the righteous life, the life that before God is perfect, and yet with all the dilemmas, all the difficulties and things that you and I face, and probably already faced this morning. I mean, how many times do families arrive at church having already had a bit of a row? I mean, golly, I remember those. Still do sometimes, but I get out early enough so we don't have them. So, but you know, all the things that make us kind of human, and we kind of sometimes, we know we're far less than perfect. He had a fully human experience. Human experience. So here he comes into the conflict, and it's the conflict of an unreconciled world. You see, the big, big message here is that we are in a world that needs rescuing. And that's why Jesus has, and the God the Father has put him into the world that you and I experience, because it needs rescuing. You and I need rescuing. So that's the first temptation. Yes, is he going to experience what it like fully like to be a human? Yes, he does. And he says, no, man shall not live on bread alone. On every word that comes from the mouth of God, everybody has to live that way. I'm not going to cheat. So there's the second temptation. The devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. We don't know whether that's a vision or what actually happened, but either way, there is Jesus on the temple. It's very interesting. He's there on the temple. And the devil says to him, if you're the Son of God, jump down, because it says in the word, he'll rescue you. And you see, that kind of, on the surface, is about a stunt. Of course, it's about a stunt, and I've said this before, you know, of course, it would be amazing, wouldn't it? Get a crowd, I could jump from the tower, and probably wouldn't get rescued, but you certainly draw a crowd. The point here, though, is it's deeper than that. There is Jesus on the temple. Inside the temple, it's about sacrifice. In the temple, it's about sacrifice and giving and service. And what the devil's saying to him is, actually, Jesus, you can bypass all that. You can bypass all that. Instead of being the God of the servant king, where you give yourself, no, be the God of power. Go in and just blitz the world. Terminator. If you stood up wherever you went and did these fantastic miracles of power so that everybody saw you as a showman, boy, you would be followed. That's the temptation here. Of course, Jesus did do miracles, but not the power of kind of zapping and Terminator type person who this would have been. Because Jesus was on the path of the servant king. That the way and the path he was going to have to follow would be like you and me, whereby sometimes the road, you cannot bypass suffering. You cannot bypass difficult decisions. You cannot bypass the things which sometimes cause tears in our lives. We cannot. And so Jesus will not bypass that. No, he's come to rescue, not just to be a showman. He's come to rescue, as we'll see in a minute, in a very particular way. And so there is Jesus saying, no, I will not. And of course, some people do say, why doesn't God intervene? You know, if there's a God of love, why is there suffering? A lot of people ask me that. Why does he? Well, here is Jesus deliberately not intervening. And the real reason is because we're in a world that doesn't need a demonstration of power. It needs rescuing. And so we come to the third temptation. There we are. It's more blatant, this. It's more blatant. What happens is Jesus is taken by the devil and shown all the kingdoms of the world. These can be yours, Jesus, if you just kneel down and worship me. Just that once. That's all you need to do. All you need to do. But the thing is, there was the great point. Again, avoiding the cross. How wonderful to get away from the pain and the sacrifice and the rejection. There, Jesus could have just worshipped the devil quickly and have all been his. The problem with that is, of course, not only would he have been worshipping the devil, the world would have remained unreconciled to God and still in the hands of the evil one. And the word Satan actually means adversary. That's what it means. It means adversary. And so people are sometimes divided about whether it's a real person or not. In some ways, the point's still made. Jesus says, no, I am on this path of rescuing this world, not being subservient to how it is at the moment. It needs rescuing. And that is where he could have avoided the cross. Like in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, your will. And he will only worship the Lord. Away from me, Satan, verse 10, For it is written, worship the Lord your God, serve him only. So the conclusion of this is that Jesus lived our life of conflicts and dilemmas. He was fully us. And it's a conflict that he had to take on because it's a conflict that's already claimed you and me. We are already claimed by the one who is trying to tempt Jesus. That is the hard truth. It's the truth we need rescuing. So you and I, in metaphorical sense, have tried to turn stones into bread. You and I have, at times, tried, metaphorically speaking, to jump from a pinnacle to be spectacular. You and I would choose, because we're fallen human beings, all the way down that Jesus didn't. You and I in this conflict are already casualties, and you and I need rescuing. That's it. And the world doesn't like to hear that. We don't like to hear that. There was a time when I didn't want to hear that. But I need rescuing. A world that denies God, it's bowed down to all the false gods, bowed down to all the things about might and wealth, self-centeredness, and we need rescuing from that. And that's what the temptation is about. Jesus is on the path to the cross because you and I need our debt with God. We need our debt with God paid. And as one theologian put it, which I think is a lovely way of putting it, although it's kind of poignant, he said this, the God who is now distant from this world, he's come near to you in incomprehensible love. When you could not take hold of him, he's taken hold of you. When you could not seek him, he found you. And when you were persecuting him, he loved you. And of course, the most poignant time is the one time God puts himself in the hands of human beings, we crucify him. That is how distant God is. But he's come for you and me. In a few moments, we're going to take communion. And as we always go towards communion, preach towards it, because that is where Jesus was resolutely coming towards, because that is where you and I are rescued. You and I are worth it. God says, I love you enough. I died for you. I've come to rescue you. And so Jesus, these temptations, will not go left or to the right, but to the cross, where your debt and my debt is paid. So we should be free, joyful, joyful,